Welcome, everybody, to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Dan.
Let's get rocking and rolling.
Episode 14, Strange Bedfellows, air date December 15th, 1993. Jenny, happy 50 episodes.
50?
50.
I didn't even know. Jeez Louise, I feel like we started this seriously like 2 months ago.
Yeah. It's been a whirlwind.
Jeez.
But that's not 50 Melrose Place episodes. It's 50 podcast episodes. Because we've done a couple bonus episodes for our patrons.
Oh, I don't count those.
But that's only, we've done like, three or four for our patrons.
Yeah, but I don't count those. Like little.
So then we're
little
a little
freebies.
Shy. Then we're a little shy.
Because they're like 15, 20 minutes long.
It counts on the records.
Okay.
So well, happy 50.
Thanks, Dan. Happy 50 to you as well.
Thank you.
As we open this puppy up, we have the exterior of Melrose Place and no garbage trucks this time.
No garbage.
No people walking down the street with duffel bags. Danny Tanner's stunt double, as you lovingly referred to him.
He was too expensive.
So we go into Jane's apartment and this was a very strange shot.
And the music.
Yeah.
It was odd, happy danger music.
I guess it's like.
It was like. Doom, doom, ding, 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 like very odd danger.
So we have multiple shots and like very, I guess, quick cuts to Jane prepping Michael's wheelchair. And Michael is in the pull-out sofa bed, and we see, you know, Jane's hand flipping out the foot pedals that he, like, is going to put his feet on. And she's, like, putting on the brakes so it doesn't go anywhere.
Establishing routine.
Yeah, and that, like, she's really into caring for him. And she picks him up.
I didn't think it was that she was very into caring for him. I thought it was to show that they've done this several times now. Like, this is a reoccurring, okay, unfold the thing, pull the chair out. Like, they've got it down.
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, like, she knows what she's doing as far as caring for him. Like,
yeah.
She knows how she has to prep the chair. She gets him up, puts him on the chair, and wheels him into the kitchen where he's like, oh, you don't have to have made breakfast for me, Jane. I'll just have whatever's lying around the house. And she's like, well, Michael, I have your raisin bread toast and your coffee with just cream, no sugar. And then he
responds by telling her breakfast.
So, like, they recite each other's favorite breakfast to each other.
Your breakfasts.
Just to be like, you know, at one time we knew each other's breakfasts and we would have them together.
Can you tell me my breakfast?
You have scrambled eggs and two pieces of toast, and then you want coffee with a lot of creamer and two scoops of sugar.
And a shit ton of sugar.
Yeah.
Your breakfast is, I don't know. Sometimes a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, I usually just do cereal. Or whatever Moxie's eating, I just like eat half of her thing, and then that's what I have.
But it's never together, and it's never good. It's always shit on the run for us.
Okay, so
we ain't got time for raisin toast.
Nope. So Jane is reiterating that she wants to make all of this clear, that she has a pattern in her life. And a pattern that she's grown very accustomed to, and that includes dating Robert. And she's not going to change any of her habits because Michael is there.
And here's to referring to your boyfriend as a pattern.
Well,
she's like, I have a pattern now. What the fuck does that mean, Jane?
It means
you have a BF.
No,
that you're getting sex on the reg with, and that's it. You can tell him you have a boyfriend. You don't have to tell him I have a pattern.
Well, she's just saying she's not going to disrupt her daily life because Michael is there. Like, she's not going to be, aware or like concerned for his feelings about what dating Robert means. So if Robert's going to come over for dinner, he's going to come over and Michael's going to have to deal with it, and she does not care.
Yeah. Michael, can you sit at the kids' table? I've got your quesadilla ready. I'm just going to head out to the movies with my pattern.
So
me and my pattern have a date.
Of course, Michael's like, oh, yeah, yes, Jane, of course. I mean, I understand. I'm only here for necessity, and I really appreciate your thoughtfulness of having me here. But then he ends it.
My toast, it's a little burnt.
I like it a little bit more burnt.
Who likes their toast burnt?
Well, Michael, because he's a hardened, mean person.
That shit is gross.
Well,
burnt-ass toast.
And she did something really weird here. And I don't know if this is something that, like, people do. We have our toaster on the counter, right? And it's pretty stationary. She took her toaster and moved it to the actual breakfast table where she was toasting the toast at the table they were eating at. And so Michael's like, I like my toast a little bit more burnt. It's like, Michael, the freaking toaster is right next to you. You could have just taken your stupid toast and put it in there yourself.
He likes people doing shit for him. He gets off on it.
So
I think a lot of people put their toaster away after use.
Do they?
Your mom does that.
No, well, she just has it like in a cabinet that's like, it doesn't move.
Yeah, it's fucking dangerous.
I guess it kind of
is. Jenny's mom has a toaster in the cabinet plugged in.
And yeah.
You toast your bread inside a cupboard.
Well, you open the cupboard while it's being toasted then you shut it.
That's dangerous.
When you're done.
Don't do that, guys.
Well, I don't know. Maybe this is something that, like, it's kind of differs from home to home. Like, what
Twitter poll.
Do.
Twitter poll, what do you do with your toasters?
Is it on the counter and just out, or is it like an appliance, like a blender or something, where you bring out just for the use of it and then put it away?
Yeah.
Anyway, we then go over to D&D, where it's Allison, Amanda, and Steve, and they're recapping that the financial people said that sales are up 22% for phase one. And Allison says that phase two, they expect their profits to triple. And of course, Steve looks at Allison with that like strange,
creepy, fucking
just like
eye.
Blinkless, like I'm staring into the pit of your soul. Yes, it's been a very fruitful partnership and one that I couldn't have done without Allison. So the VP of finance will be coming in to discuss phase two with you, Allison, and I'm going to be going to Paris for 6 months to set up our international division.
And Allison is like shaken by this.
Right, because this is totally out of left field. And keep in mind, too, Steve does not know how everything panned out with Billy, that Billy has moved out. He is still under the impression that Allison and Billy are still in a relationship.
And Allison is such a... she wants her cake... She wants to have her cake and eat it, too.
Wait, did I tell you? Was I talking to you about this?
I don't know.
Okay, this is like crazy side note, but I'm watching Manhunt about Ted Kaczynski and how the FBI like found him, the Unabomber. Mm-hmm. And that's how they actually found Ted Kaczynski, because way back in the day...
He wanted a cake?
No, they used to say, you want to eat your cake and have it, too. That used to be the saying. But then somehow over like the decades and the years, it got turned to you want to have
your
cake and
eat
it too.
Too,
which doesn't really make a lot of sense, but the former does make sense. So,
because you want to just have your cake so it looks nice, but you also want to eat it, and then you'll screw it up.
Right.
Because it'll be eaten.
Right. So the, the other way kind of makes more sense, but that's how they caught the Unabomber, because he kept referring to that phrase as like the old phrase, the way, the original way that it was spoken. And then they found that in like his manifesto that he sent in about like why he was bombing everybody and all this stuff. And that's kind of how they cracked the case, because they found a guy that referenced that in other
his mannerisms.
Papers. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's just cool. A funny, interesting thing. But yes, she does want that.
She wants to eat her cake and have it too.
So,
P.S. I'm the Unabomber.
No! So she corners Steve out in the office and is like, Steve, wait, I mean, Paris, this is a little sudden. I mean, why are you leaving? And he is like, well, Allison, I guess going international is a good way to get over somebody. Don't worry, I'll be out of your hair by next Tuesday. It's over, it's done, and I'm just ready to move on.
And it wouldn't be a scene with Allison without her co-star. That fucking hair. Dude, that hair, it's like a running gag.
Okay,
it's got to be a running gag. It's getting bigger and bigger every shot.
And this one.
And like curl.
No, okay, no. This one is like slicked back.
Yeah.
Before, like, they would have it be like a little wave or like a poof in the front. But now this is like, like a jet engine, like, took it and blew it all back. And it's all like, and it has maybe 2 inches of height all like in the perimeter around her face.
It's like she got electrocuted.
It's like
if you've seen the movie There's Something About Mary, when Mary comes to the door and sees Ben Stiller and he's got jizz on his ear, and she takes the
iconic hairstyle. Yeah,
she thinks it's gel and she takes it and puts it in her hair, and then by the end of the date it's like sticking straight up.
Yeah.
That's Allison's hair in this shot.
But the entire perimeter of her face, not just that one section. So anyway, of course, Amanda has to put her 2 cents in. As Steve is walking away, she's got to make that snide remark. Well, you really let that one slip through your fingers.
Yeah, what a bitch.
Get away, Amanda. Oh, my God.
Why can't I go to Paris?
Jerk. Okay, so we head over to Escapade magazine where Billy and Celia are, I guess, just chatting, like workplace chatter.
Celia looks so good in this whole episode. Yeah, she looks way better.
They're really vamping her up for sure.
And Billy is rocking that horrible tie again.
He wears it every episode.
Ugh, it is disgusting.
It's pretty tragic. And so their boss comes over and lets them know that legal wants to pull their, the lead story that they were going to put in the latest magazine publication, and that they're looking for a new big story. And she thinks that video dating is the way to go. And even Billy is like, video dating? That's like so like 5 years ago. Why would we do that? What old hack wanted to do an expose on that? And his boss is like, me, Billy?
Me, you jackass. You saw how I date before. I just bang my employees.
I'm trying something new.
Yeah.
And she's like, look, I would have gone to more seasoned writers about this, but I'm really sticking my neck out for you two. I want both of you to sign up for video dating and then write about your experiences in this expose that we're doing about it. And they are both like, what? You want us to go on dates and write about it? Ugh, that's awful. Man. They're both very turned off by this idea, and especially Billy because of his recent breakup with Allison.
Right. We head on over to the Jake Hansen, Palmer Woodward story. And Jake is running over to the FBI to deliver the evidence that will bury Palmer. And my note here is, what a rat.
Yeah, so he gives this paperwork or documentation that these reproductions are being passed up as originals, but that's not all the FBI wants.
Mm-hmm.
They want Jake to wear a wire.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ooh!
Jenny, prediction come true.
Thank you. It just makes for good and riveting TV.
And then he's like, I can't wear a wire. Come on, guys. What are you talking about? And they're like, Jake, you better fucking do it. You better do it.
So Jake's like, you said that my part would be completely anonymous. If I wear a wire, that's something that Woodward, that the Woodward family is going to find out. And I'm involved with his daughter. And the FBI's like, of course we know that. We're the FBI, Jake. We know everything about you. And Jake is like, but I don't want to compromise my relationship with her. And you said that they wouldn't know that it was me. And the FBI dude is like, oh, Detective Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like...
Family.
Yeah. He's our fam. He's like, things have changed, Jake. You may now be implicated, and it's either Woodward takes the fall or you take the fall. This is what he does. Palmer goes around to different companies, and he always sets up a fall guy, and you're it. So it's him or you.
Yeah. He says this is not Palmer's first scam. So they just been on his ass for a long, long time. So now Jake heads into work, and since he's been meeting with the FBI, he's super late. Pulls up on his motorcycle, parks right in front of the garage. Palmer's on the phone. He's like, Jake, you're late.
And since when is Palmer like hanging around the garage? It's like overseeing the day-to-day operations.
Yeah, he has no business being in the work
area. In the garage.
Get in your fucking office.
I kind of thought that this was like one of many operations that he was doing. Mm-hmm. And Jake is kind of like the lead person that's supposed to be running it, but it seems like Palmer is freaking micromanaging the shit out of him.
Yeah. And he Jake's like, oh yeah, sorry, don't worry, I won't take lunch tomorrow or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, that makes up for being missing for 5 hours, okay.
Yeah, so Palmer calls out Jake for being on edge, and then he says, by the way, my daughter's on hold for you.
So, yeah, Amanda is waiting on the phone to talk to Jake, and Jake takes it, and Amanda's on the other line like, Jake, this is very urgent. We need to talk. And he's like, of course, his brain goes to, oh crap, like she knows that I'm in cahoots with the FBI and I'm gonna bring her dad down.
Yeah.
And she's like, meet me tonight, Melrose and Larkin. We need to talk.
It's like a covert operation. She's like, meet me on the corner of Melrose and whatever.
Larkin.
But no one talks like this. If someone told me to do that, I would be like,
why?
You're going to need to tell me why.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah, you're going to need to tell me why. And even after you tell me why, the answer is no.
And if you want to talk, can we just do that at your apartment?
Yeah. Or remember Jake went to Allison's house and he was like, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And she's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, okay, come over at 7.
Yeah, it's like, you're there. Freaking tell me now. Yeah. What?
And Allison was like,
okay.
Okay, what's this about? He's like, I'll see you at 7. It's like, dude, just like, Amanda, finish your conversation.
Maybe things were different in the 90s.
You just keep people wondering.
I mean, we're in the age of like instant gratification. We want things now. Everything we have, like our smartphones, is like, you want to know an answer to something? You Google it, and within 1 second, you have the answer. But back then, people had to wait.
I even hate it when people come to me and say, question for you.
No.
Like, fuck you. Okay. Just ask it.
My mom always does this.
I have a question.
And you're like, you don't have to preface your question with telling me you have a question. Yeah. Just
guys,
tell me.
Just get rid of this whole thing. this podcast not only is going to teach you about Melrose Place, it's going to teach you how to live your life like a normal, decent human being. Do not come up to somebody, do not call somebody, do not text somebody and say, I have a question. Just ask it.
Okay.
Your mom will call and be like, hi, Jenny, I have a question. Call me back.
Dan, I know. Okay. I know. She's my mom. Okay.
Oh boy.
So, next scene, we're back to Jane's apartment where Michael is lounging on the sofa bed reading magazines. And then what was he doing? Was he trying to like get his chair? Was he trying to get to the phone? I don't know.
He saw some shit at the end of the bed and was like, I need that immediately.
And he reaches for it, and it's like the nightmare that Jane had came true of Michael like trying. He reaches so far that he falls onto the floor.
And he's like, oh.
He's laying face down on the floor. And need I remind you guys, he's not a quadriplegic. He is, and I don't even know if he's paralyzed. I don't know what's going on. He doesn't have the use of his legs, but the way that he's playing this is like, he is completely incapacitated. He does not have the use of his arms. He's like, help me, help. But he's like reaching for the phone.
He reached for the chair and then the chair started rolling away.
Yeah, so it is seriously like the nightmare that she had, that like the dogs barking and like shaky camera work and like black and white. And it's like the chair like skids across the room and he's like, ah! And it's like this crazy slow motion fall. It's like, okay, you really didn't fall, you stupid idiot. And he is just laying there screaming for help. You'd think that he could like use his upper body to like push himself up, but this apparently isn't an option for him. And he's yelling. And then we hear somebody on the other side of the door to Jane's apartment. And it's Sydney.
Yeah. All right. Couple cues here. How did she get in?
Excuse me. Did you preface your question with telling me that you have a question?
Nope. That was for everyone. That was for me. Couple cues. That was a statement.
I think you just went against your little cardinal rule that you just made up not even a minute ago.
It was a statement. You can have a statement, but you can't talk to somebody about that, right?
Okay, proceed.
Yeah. Yeah. How does she have fucking keys?
That is a great question.
How does she still have keys to that apartment?
Because probably when she was staying with Jane initially, she had her own set of keys and Jane didn't bother to change the locks or ask for them back. I think that makes the most sense. But I would say after the whole stuff, like after everything went down with Jane finding out about her and Michael, wouldn't like she demand the keys back or change the locks?
Well, the locks would have definitely been changed after Michael's divorce.
Well, that Jane came to stay with her after that.
Sydney came to stay
after? Oh, that's what I meant. Sydney came to stay with Jane after Michael had moved out.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Anyway, she has keys.
She rolls in, and you think that she's going to like come to Michael's rescue here and be like, oh my gosh, Michael, are you okay? Can I help you? Blah, blah, blah. But no. Sydney has a very different tone in this scene, and it's very much more demented and in a position of extreme power.
I love it.
Yeah?
So Sydney comes over and you think she's going to help him, like you were saying. She goes for the chair, but instead of bringing it closer to Michael, she wheels it away. And she's like, oh, Michael, did you hurt yourself? And he's like, no, I don't think I'm hurt. I just need to get up. Okay, then, maybe now is a good time to talk. You said some horrible things to me, Michael. Do you think that I'm just going to fade away? That you ignore me for a little bit and then I'm gone? Guess what, Michael? I'm not. And I want to be back in your life. I haven't seen you in days.
She's like, you really hurt me.
So what do you think? Can we be friends? Can we, Michael? I mean, if you say yes, I'll go ahead and help you up and get you back in your chair. And Michael reluctantly is like, okay, fine. And of course, he's like, again, face down on the ground. He's not even able to prop his upper body up. For some reason, his arms cannot be used at this point as well.
And he still got these scabs on his face.
I mean, how long ago did that happen?
It's been a long time.
Because it's been more than a week. Remember a couple episodes ago when they were checking in on Kimberly? It's like, it's been a week. Yeah. So, I mean, this has got to be several weeks, if not a month.
You should probably see a doctor for those scabs.
I mean, they are not healing.
No.
They still look like it happened maybe 3 days ago. So, he agrees, and then Sydney comes over, helps him up, and she's like, I knew you'd see it my way.
And Michael, I dare to say that Michael has been the most injured cast member on Melrose Place.
Matt getting the crap beat out of him.
Matt did get the shit beat out of him. Billy got the shit beat out of him. But
no,
Michael.
No, but Matt was real bad.
Yeah.
But Kimberly, dude, she's dead.
Kimberly's dead. But I'm saying, like, repeated incidents of injury. It's got to be Michael. He Remember, he kicked the freaking baby
and then
cradle.
And then he like broke his foot from that.
Yeah, he broke his foot from that. Then he got his ass kicked by Robert.
Yeah, he did.
And he got in this car crash. He's now paralyzed. And remember, he burnt himself with dinner.
Oh yeah.
And he fell. And then they had to get cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Oh no, they had to get chili dogs.
Oh yeah, chili dogs. Michael has had a tough go. He got, I think he got punched at Matt's wedding, right?
Oh, he deserves it
all.
The
wedding reception?
Yeah, he sucks.
He's an injured man.
Okay, so
he's gotten slapped in the face by Kimberly. He gets hurt.
Do you want me to be like sympathetic?
I'm just saying he's the most injured cast.
Well, because he deserves it.
Yeah.
I mean, you drink and drive, you'll probably die
or get hurt.
And you act like a jerk to everybody, and people are going to want to do you bodily harm.
Yep.
So, next up, we go to the corner of Melrose and Larkin, where Amanda is waiting for Jake. Now, Jake, again, is really scared.
Yeah, he's like, hey, what's going on? Are you all right?
Yeah, and Amanda's like, surprise! And she leads him over to a storefront window that's all decked out for, I guess, like the winter time.
Winter
and
sport.
There's like ski stuff everywhere and like skis and snowsuits. And she's like, I'm going to take you skiing and pay for all of your equipment and all of your clothes that you need. And we're going to go on a little Christmas getaway.
And I know it's 93, but like you could still rent gear.
Dan, Amanda Woodward doesn't rent anything. She only owns.
I guess. But where's she going to put all that stuff? And so Jake is taken back. He's like, what the hell? Like, I don't think Jake is a skiing type.
No. And he's like, I don't know how to ski. And she's like, don't worry, I'll teach you. And he's like, why are you doing this? And she's like, Jake, you've just been so good to me. And I just really feel great with you. And I just love you. And I want to show you.
Yeah. Remember all this stuff. Because later in the episode, she completely contradicts herself. She says she owes Jake for being there, and she's never trusted anybody.
No one.
No one. So that means not even Billy.
Okay, so they go into the store to get all the new duds, and then we cut over to the exterior of Melrose Place out into the street, where Allison walks up to a...
Billy?
Well, Billy's out there first, and then mm-hmm. Allison comes up to the front of the apartment, and there's like a tow truck offloading a beautiful brand new black Jeep Wrangler with a huge red bow on it.
It looks fucking sharp, and it's being delivered by a dude with a massive mullet.
And he was pretty mean, by the way.
Yeah.
What's up with him?
He's like, I guess somebody must like you.
He's like, who's, are you Allison Parker? And then Billy motions to Allison and says, well, she is. Oh, this Steve guy must like you a lot. Here you go. And he like says it like kind of like a jerk. It's like, what's it to you, bud?
Yeah, you're just dropping off a car.
Okay, bye. See ya.
And Billy, he can't control how fucking jealous he is. He's just like...
Yeah, so he goes away, and there's like a note on the car. And
he goes away, but not before saying a snide remark to Allison about how like she's changed and like she's super rich now.
Oh, really?
He's like, have fun. He's like, I remember the days when you didn't want to trade away your car.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We remember that, too. I don't know why she kept that old piece of crap.
It's a piece of junk. Should have sold it to that girl who was working at the burger place. Or that creepy grandma who's like, I know a dud when I see one.
Well, she doesn't have to worry about that any longer because by today's standards, this car is still pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And she sees a note that says, one last dinner, love Steve.
And, okay, Steve is king of mixed signals. Because the last time we saw Steve in this episode, he's like, Allison, don't worry. It's done. I'm going to France. This is a wrap.
I'll be out of your hair. And then he's like,
here's but a car.
First, here's a car, and can we go out to dinner again? And believe, and he thinks that he and that Allison and Billy are still together.
Yeah.
So he's still encroaching on that relationship after,
as far as he knows. Yeah.
After so many times that Allison is like, "Steve, I just love Billy, and I want to be with Billy, and it's not going to work out. It's Billy, Billy, Billy," and now it's like, but one last shot.
God, it's a beautiful Jeep.
Are you watching it?
Yeah, it's such a nice Jeep.
It is cool. So, next up.
We got video dating.
Oh, yeah, baby. So, Billy is just lounging on the couch. He's got his probably video VHS.
Yeah.
Of pre-recorded, like, it's just, I wasn't very familiar with video dating, so I guess instead of having a profile, you actually speak into the camera
yourself.
Yeah. About, like, about yourself and your likes and dislikes and kind of what you're looking for in a mate. And so he's watching these, like, little introductions to these potential women he could go on dates with.
And he's in his boxers. And the camera shot is like can almost look up his boxer shorts, and he's eating cereal. And I would say in season one he'd be shirtless here, but in this season he's got the wife beater on.
Really?
Yeah.
You always notice when you can see his junk.
Well, yeah, because I'm cognizant. I don't want to see it.
So, I'm so like, you're oh, looking shit. For it.
There might be junk. No, but I'm aware. It's like if you're at the gym. And you're changing, you don't try to look at people's
so
D's.
You actively try, you look to try to not look.
You make yourself aware that there's a possibility of dong. So you like, oh, no, I don't look at that.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about these profiles.
I'm
here.
Not trying to see Billy's
okay,
dick.
Dan, I'm married to you. I kind of know your sexual preferences, and you don't have to defend them.
Yeah, regardless.
If you want to see Billy's dick, that's okay.
I don't, though.
That's okay.
I don't want to see his dick.
Okay. So first up, we have a lady who is very adamant about no premarital sex. She... Yeah. That's what she's all about. So next one, we have someone who just loves square dancing, and she loves taking out her dates to go square dancing. She does it 3 to 4 times a week, and the guys aren't really into it, but after she gets her hands on them, they love square dancing as much as she does.
And are all of these supposed to be like major no's?
Doy.
Like, oh, hell no, I need sex for sure. And then, nope.
And the last one is like, well, I love dogs, but I love malls too. So whoever I end up with has got to love my 3 dogs and then going to malls because I love shopping.
Dogs and malls.
Yeah. So he is just very disenchanted with every woman he sees.
And like Jake arrives, sees him watching this shit, and Billy's just like, this proves it. I've watched 3 videos, and all the good women are taken.
That's it. All my rich guys. They, all the rich guys come swoop them up, and now I'm last with the... I'm left with all of these just duds.
And now Jake makes a cardinal sin of Melrose Place. He goes to Billy for advice.
Why?
Why the hell would you ever fucking do that,
he
Jake?
He has the worst track record with keeping things under wraps.
Yeah. My note is, Jake needs advice from Billy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Jake is like, look, Billy, can I talk to you? I probably shouldn't get you involved, but...
He's like, you can't tell anyone.
And Billy's like, oh, of course, what's going on? And he's like, Billy, it's a scam. It's a scam. Palmer is taking these reproductions that we're making and passing them off as originals. And I got a visit from the FBI and they want me to turn on Palmer. And Amanda thinks he walks on water. When she finds out about this, she's mm-hmm. not going to want anything to do with me anymore. And they are going to bust him and they need my help. And I got to wear a wire and get him to admit what he's doing. And Billy actually does give him some pretty good advice here. He's like, what are you, they can't force you to do that. And Jake is like, they said that I have to. I mean, they I have to do it or else I'm going to take the fall. And Billy's like, well, tell the FBI to go to hell.
Bad advice. That's bad.
Well, I mean, telling the FBI to go to hell is one thing, but I think that you could kind of decline to set up.
You could plead the 5th.
Yeah, this whole like storyline just does not make sense to me.
It's like, just you know that Palmer's doing it. Go bust him.
But you know what? He didn't, like, really? Jake didn't really know that he was doing it. He didn't.
He signed the papers.
He signed the papers for the parts, like the purchase orders for the parts to be delivered. But he could just be like, I had no idea. I've been, like, you can look at Palmer's track record versus my track record. I've got like nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. I've done nothing. But
the FBI, they just hang shit over you. Like, they're like, we'll shut the whole place down.
You've got a lot of experience with the FBI?
I'm just saying. There's
something you're not telling me?
No, but I'm saying, like, they could probably get Jake for just being involved.
I just feel like.
So they just hang that over your head.
If I were Jake, I would go directly to Palmer and be like, this is what happened. What are we going to do about it? And if Palmer has done this many times before, I mean, Jake's dating his daughter, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you think that they would do anything that they could to kind of shield Jake from any issues? And Jake honestly did not know anything was going on. He was kind of catching wind of it at the same time the FBI came around. So if I were him, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was hired by Palmer to do this job. That's all I've been doing. I don't deal with the sale of them. That's Palmer.
But his signature is on the sales. That's what I'm saying. That's what they said on the show.
But
that's the whole reason that Jake is involved.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's on. They said purchase orders. So right. I'm like, for the parts?
No.
I don't know.
His signature is on the sale of the cars.
Why is he signing it?
It's probably just some bullshit thing. Like, I mean, when we ship stuff, like, I'm sure an old shipping manager's signature is on the customs documents, you know? That's just what it is. So, like, it comes down to, like, okay, well, who's signing for this? And if Jake's signing for it, then that means, sure, they don't want to pin it on Jake, but they could if they wanted to.
I don't know. I just kind of think Jake could have handled it differently. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, Jake is not an educated person. He got his GED from Kelly.
No, Allison.
From Allison.
She studied with him, remember?
And by this timeline, that was probably like 5 weeks ago. So.
Okay, so next scene.
Jake is a dum-dum with a 9-inch cock.
Again, here we are. But you just can't, you avert your eyes.
Yeah, I don't look at them.
So, next up, we go to Jane's apartment where she's getting ready to go out. And she tells Michael that she has plans. And he's like, consisting of?
Yeah, where are you going? Who are you going with?
So he's now just overstepping his bounds. And I'd be like, it's none of your business. And that's what she says. And he's like, well, Jane, what if there's an emergency? What if I need to get in touch with you? Don't you think I should know where you are? And I'd be like, I'd say no. I am kind enough to allow you to stay here at my house. And if I'm going somewhere, you don't need to know where I am.
Yeah, if there's an emergency, here's the phone. Dial 911.
Yeah, exactly. But she gives in and she's like, yes, I'm going to Citrus, which I guess is like a hoity-toity restaurant.
And he's like, and with whom? And then she says, you don't need to know that. And he's like, what if the reservation's in someone else's name?
And she's like, tell whoever answers the phone, describe what I look like, and they can find me.
Yeah. Have you ever received a phone call at a restaurant while you were eating?
No.
Me neither. All right, moving on.
Have you?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, so next up, we are back at the FBI with Jake.
And the FBI is so serious.
They say Jake's hands is all over the operation and that he knew it was happening the whole time. And Jake's like, not at first. Try telling that technicality to a judge and see how far that gets you, Jake Hansen.
Yeah, Jake, he's really trying to get out of doing this wire. And they're like, you need us more than we need you, asshole.
We're giving you a little lifeline. You can choose to take it or not. But if you choose not to, you're the fall guy.
and then it goes away. So we're not sure at this moment if Jake decided yes to wear the wire or no. Now we're back to escapades, and Celia is smoking hot.
So, well, before Celia was just smoking when we first met her, but now she is looking a little bit more attractive. She's ditched the cool cigarettes, and she's not chain smoking at her desk any longer. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we ever did this for Celia, but she's played by Melanie Smith, and she's known for As the World Turns. She's not really working anymore. She was on Gotham, Endgame, The Division, 21, and Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
That's how I recognize her.
Yeah, yeah. From Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. So Billy is just not in very high spirits, and Celia offers to listen to his plight, and he doesn't want to choose any of the dates that he's seen. And Celia is basically like, look, get over it, partner. Like, I'm going to go out on a date with a football player just to try to get season tickets. It's just for this stupid assignment. Just go out on this dumb date and then write about your experience. You don't have to marry the person. Get over it.
Yeah, and she really leans in on him, too.
Yeah, so
She leans in, touches his chest, and she's like, get over it, partner.
I really feel like they're trying to establish this sexual tension between these two, mm-hmm. because I think that they're going to have some sort of a fling.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
And it's got to... We'll talk about it in our predictions.
So next scene, Steve and Allison are out to dinner, and she reveals that she has broken up with Billy. Billy has moved out, and they're no longer a thing.
And Steve, of course, he's like, we've seen this fucking conversation 5 times now.
Really?
Basically, Steve's just like, well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm happy.
He says, I must have a guardian angel because it seems as though I have a second chance. Let's drive out to the ranch over the weekend and get reacquainted and see how it feels with one another.
And it's like, dude, y'all know how it feels. You spent Thanksgiving together. You absolutely know how it feels to be together.
And Allison at first is like, really? Do you think that's a good idea? Is that just a little moving too fast? And he's like, come on, Allison, just give me this chance. Come on, come out to the ranch with me. He is very forward and like mm-hmm. very like, do what I say.
Yeah. And here we go. Who is the real prostitute on this show? Sydney or Allison?
What?
Because Allison is accepting all kinds of dinners and gifts. She got a car from Steve.
She is genuinely interested in pursuing a romantic relationship with Steve.
Yeah, now that she has a car.
Okay, Dan, the whole premise of her and Billy breaking up is because she has feelings for Steve. And she chose Steve over Billy.
You don't always get paid for sex with money.
She hasn't even had sex with him.
She about to.
I totally disagree.
Allison's a prostitute.
Okay, so next up, we are back at the shop. Let's call it like Jake and Palmer's shop.
And Palmer's getting fucked up at work.
Okay, it's night. I mean, like, it's dark outside. Nobody is there.
Slamming
and he's
whiskey.
Just, like, drinking straight up scotch, just sitting at his desk. Yeah. What are you doing?
He's just a dirty old businessman. I guess they're trying to portray him.
So Jake walks in and he's like, Palmer, I got to talk to you. I've noticed some things about the business and things that I just don't think are on the up and up.
So Palmer just turns to him and is like, how much do you want?
And Jake's taken aback by this question. He's like, excuse me, what are you talking about? How much do you want to keep your trap shut about this, Jake? And Jake is like, look, I don't want your money. I just want to know, are you selling these reproductions as originals? What are you doing? And then instead of answering yes or no, Palmer says, well, give the boy a cigar, which kind of, you know, implicates that, yes, he is doing that. And then Jake presses him, how do you get the signatures on the certificates of authenticity? I mean, do you forge them or do you find people that you pay off to do it for you? And he
says COAs are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, so Palmer is like kind of revealing these things. And again, we don't know if Jake is going to Palmer on his own volition just to get answers to his questions, or if he is in cahoots with the FBI.
And Palmer just gets, he stands up and he gets closer and closer and closer to Jake as he keeps talking. And then finally, Jake's up against a wall and Palmer just rips open Jake's shirt to reveal he's wearing a wire!
Which, strange reaction. I mean, Jake questions him one time about the legitimacy of the business, and Palmer's
that's grounds to rip someone's shirt.
To rip his shirt apart. I don't know. I mean, unless Palmer has done this many times before it and has like been set up before.
Yeah, it seemed like it's not the first shirt Palmer has ripped open. All so, my mechanics. Yeah. All over the place. I got to rip their shirt. Why do you think I had to hire you, Jake? I ripped my last mechanic shirt open, too.
So Jake does have the wire on, as Dan says. And then Palmer just says to him, I'll crush you. I'll crush you. And then the FBI kind of comes out from the corners and they move in on Palmer. They put the handcuffs on and Palmer's still just screaming back at Jake, letting him know that he's going to pay for what he's done.
Mm-hmm. Next scene, Jake's headed back to Melrose Place. He's in the courtyard. He sees Amanda. She's freaking out. And he's like, Amanda, wait. She's like, I have to go. Something's wrong with Daddy.
Daddy's been arrested. I have to go down to the police station. Were you there? What happened? Amanda, the FBI, they made me a part of it. And then just by that one line, Amanda looks at him and says, so it's your fault?
Yeah.
And it's like, again, crazy jumping to conclusions.
Jake is not good about explaining quickly because his next line is, I had no choice.
He was running a scam. And it's kind of like, I don't know, this might not be the best place to have this conversation. So Amanda is basically like, get away from me. I'm going down to bail out Daddy. I have to go.
I need my daddy.
So she kind of like sloughs Jake off. She runs out of Melrose Place. And the next scene is Amanda and Woodward, Palmer Woodward, walking out of, I guess, the jail?
Of jail, yeah.
And it's now morning. And
the jail is so busy. There's like criminals. Like their whole conversation with Jake and Amanda outdoors, I think I counted like three people going in. Into custody.
Damn, this is L.A., baby.
They're just gathering them up.
Yeah, there's a lot of hardened criminals on the street
mm-hmm.
that the FBI has to go out and take care of.
Yep. So Amanda's talking to Daddy, and he starts to like spin a web of really terrible lies together.
Well, first she's like, why don't we go up to the Santa Barbara house and you can take a sauna? Okay, does anybody ever say that about a sauna?
I guess the Richies.
How do you take a sauna? Like taking a bath?
I've heard have a sauna.
I've heard go visit a sauna or like...
I'm going to go in the sauna.
Get in the sauna. But take a sauna.
A sauna.
So then you're right. He says, I just feel so betrayed, especially after I bent over backwards for this guy to help him out and get him out of a jam. I mean, can you believe... Jake was finding these reproductions that we were putting together. When I would put him in touch with the buyer, mm-hmm. he would then counteroffer to sell them an original, which was really the reproduction that we were making. And then he
bullshit.
Would go behind my back and make this deal. And then my question is, okay, Palmer, if that was real, then... how could you account for your business not making any profits? Because if he was countering to sell at the higher rate for these cars and that they were originals, wouldn't like, and he was pocketing that money. Like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you know that your cars weren't making any money?
Like, and you mentioned while we were watching, so what happens when they all hear the tapes?
Yeah,
of the wire?
When they go to court and they play the tapes as evidence in court for the jury.
And
I
he's
mean,
like,
that's
how much you want to cover this up?
Pretty clear evidence that it's all Palmer's doing.
Yeah, you're fucked, buddy.
But, you know, maybe he's not thinking about the long game. He's just thinking about how do I get my daughter off of my tail and pin it all on Jake. So that way, you know, he gets to accomplish a few things, get Jake out of her life, which he really wasn't feeling them as a couple anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then gain her trust that she would side with him and then still support him through this pretty tough time that he's going to go through.
And Amanda's eating it up.
Yeah, she's like, I just can't believe it. I mean, being with him, it just seemed so real. It just seemed like that it was a real thing and that he really did care about me and you. And I just, this is so hard to believe. And Palmer's like, well, honey, it's a hard lesson that you have to learn in life. You just can't trust people.
And he's like, Jake's a con man. Conned us all. How is Jake going to con both of you? Jake is not some mastermind criminal. You know, it's like, dude, you're this like great businessman. How the fuck can Amanda eat this story up like this?
Yeah.
And he's like, do you know any of the men you date?
And honestly, basically calling her a whore. That's a fair question.
Yeah.
Because it's like she really doesn't know a lot about Billy or Jake. And then he says there are just some people you can never truly know, which is very much like, well, you're talking about yourself.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Billy is on his video date.
Yeah, so he's with a gal who is very interested in what he does and what kind of assets he has.
And he's got his menu, like, very rudely on the table, like a child sitting
like
at...
creating like, a fort, yeah. Like a barrier between him and the girl.
And she has to physically, like, pull down the menu and engage him in conversation. And she's definitely... They're painting her as, like, uber gold digger.
So yeah, she's like, so what do you do? He says that he's a writer. Oh great, film or television? And he's like, well, magazine actually. Oh, I bet that pays well. What kind of car do you drive? And he's like, why do you want to know? And then where do you live?
Mm-hmm.
And she's making comments about, okay, the property values there are pretty good. And he's like, why are you asking me about this? You just seem to be a lot more interested in my money than you are interested in me. And then he launches into this like whole monologue about how all women only want money. They only want status. And she's only on this date to see like what she can get from him. And
yeah.
Of course, she's like looking at him like, okay, you're a psycho. Granted, she was very like...
She was a little gold diggery.
Like, tell me how much money you have in your savings account. Yeah. So he like storms out. He leaves the restaurant.
And what is this music? Do 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 ba down down ba di ba di ba di di.
Yeah, it's very Seinfeld, and it's very like, hey, it's almost like the jokingly like if there's a cutesy little joke happening that usually
always
play
Billy music, like when he falls off horses, when he's on shitty dates.
Ba do ba do ba.
And when he like lies and does like dumb shit like. I'm going to go steal the peanut butter. I'm going to go dance with a mop in my bedroom. Yeah.
I'm going to go tell off some girl who's just on a date with me. So weird. So then his next move is to go to the office where Celia is, and isn't it like, again, it's evening, right?
It's very late.
Do I have this right?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, the date with the linebacker was a dud. And then Billy's like, yeah, mine was bad too. I pretty much called her a gold digger and I left midway through.
And she says, what's the matter, Tiger? Small talk, Rusty?
And then she's like, you didn't take your date to completion?
What are your 500 words gonna be? Billy.
Which I'm like, what does that mean? Was he supposed to like sleep with this girl? Like, what does that mean? Taking your date to completion?
I don't know. They're running a whore racket over there.
It's very weird.
Where's Lauren at?
I don't know. And then she was like, you know what your problem is, Billy? You're immature and you let your personal life get in the way of your deadlines. And that's stupid. And my name is going to be on this article too. And I'm not going down for you. I'm not going down for you. Like, you better figure it out. And he's like, I'm going to write about my experience. Okay. And that means I don't like online or video dating.
And Celia in this moment is all of us. She she just gives, she gives it. If I could talk to Billy, that's exactly what I would say to him. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, piece of shit child?
It's good that she, like...
We have jobs to do, asshole. And go on your date.
But it's
kind of... Do your work.
But it's kind of like, too, okay, like, he could spin it to be like, I don't like video dating. This is my experience. This,
and really, it's 500 words.
Like, really? That's, like, seriously a summary? Like, that's nothing.
How are you going to write your 500 words, Einstein?
Yeah. So, next up, Allison and Steve are at the ranch, and they're out for a picnic.
Oh, yeah, the wedgie picnic.
Yeah, Dan, really, you are very, like, very preoccupied with people's nether regions.
No.
Whether they be men or women.
She hops out of this badass Jeep. I'm sure this episode was sponsored by Jeep, because it just always appears in, like, these beautiful shots. But she hops out, and she's wearing these, like, crazy mom jeans. And she has, like, a massive wedge when she's pulling out the picnic
this
baskets.
This was a really, like, very popular look back in these days. And I just, like, it is so unattractive to me. Yeah. I look at it, it's like, wow, it's so bad.
Especially paired with a very elderly top.
And, like, white kids.
Yeah, and helmet hair.
Oh, it's just, I mean, and keep in mind, too, that when this was on, like, these people were the cutting edge of fashion. Like, people would watch the show to be like,
I need those mom jeans.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, my God. Did you see her shoes?
White
those
kids.
Those were kids.
So hot. They're
I need those
so
kids.
Hot right now.
And those picnic baskets.
Yeah. Why do they both have their own picnic basket?
They have a lot of lunch. They got a whole lot of lunch.
So, of course, Allison is like, gosh, Steve, this is beautiful. You have everything. And Steve is like, well, Allison, you mean I have money?
How many times have we heard this conversation?
A lot. And she's like, Steve, that part of you means the least to me.
Bullshit.
You're funny. You're interesting. You're smart. You're sexy.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, oh, Allison, the feeling is quite mutual.
And she's leading him on. I get so angry at this.
Well, yeah, she really is going to a sexual place by saying that. And
yeah,
because
she's gotta throw it down for this car.
No, she doesn't.
She needs this car.
Oh my God. So then Steve is like, about a week ago, I was out here at this very spot and I tried to imagine my future. And now I'm thinking it was a psychic flash. And then, of course, Allison's interest is piqued, and she's like, well, what did you see? I saw us working together.
What a line.
Living together, traveling, having a family.
Having creepy eyes together.
And Allison is like, oh, Steve. And they just start, like, rolling around and kissing on the picnic blanket. So,
but she throws the camera a look, like Steve's, like, hugging her. And so her face is facing the camera, and it's sort of a look of question.
But
an ounce of doubt.
I'm like, Allison, what did you expect? What do you want?
Yeah, you just told the man he's sexy. You laid out a picnic.
And you're like, you're smart, you're funny, you're interesting, you're sexy. What? Like, I don't know. Like, where do you think
down.
It's going
to
go? So
it's
anyway.
About to go down, sweetheart. I hope you put on the good underwear. It's about to go down. She shows up in freaking granny panties, too.
So, we're now back at Melrose Place, where Amanda knocks on Jake's door. And she says to him very bluntly, I want you to know I'm taking every measure to have you evicted. So, you better buy the paper.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
And
that's not how this works.
Don't think you can evict somebody because you've had a personal problem with them.
Nope.
Think,
sure can't.
Like, LA is very pro renters' rights.
Here are my thoughts on this. Because she said she's got to fumigate the place. So maybe the reasoning is like, oh, I'm lying. This place isn't suitable to live in anymore. So I'm going to pay to have it fumigated. So you have to leave.
I think she was saying that because she was comparing him to, like, a rat or a roach.
Oh.
Probably like a rat. Like, I have to fumigate the place to be, like, because you are a freaking rat, and you ratted, you went to the cops, you went to the FBI, and you F my dad. So he, so then she's like, he is like, well, what, you're going to just take his word over mine? And I'm like, Jake, that's her dad.
And she, but he's like, your father's a con artist. He's a crook.
And she's like, yeah, I am going to take his word over yours. I never want to see you again. You better be out by Friday or I'm throwing you out. Goodbye.
So where does Jake go?
Oh, Shooters.
None other than Shooters.
The place where everybody goes to blow off some steam and just stew in their problems.
Yep. And we have a Joe moment. Yay.
Woohoo. So she's hustling some guy at the pool table. And
she makes a lot of money on pool.
I mean, she could just do this as a job.
Yeah. Well, it's the only job she has that she's good at.
I mean, her photography work leaves something to be desired. So they've got a couple $20 bills on the table. She's hustling some dude. She wins.
And Jake is like, he's just eyeballing her like, that's Joe for you.
Huh, there she is.
She gives him a smile. He smiles at her. He's like, okay, have fun. Have fun hustling this guy.
So Jake walks over and he's like, you look good.
And the song in the background, someone help us out. What's this song? Because the one we heard was, she's got it all. It's like this rock song. It's like, she has it all. And Jake's just in there like, she does have it all.
Yeah. So she's like, thanks. You look good too. I mean, he's obviously you're going through something. But
he's ogling her.
Yeah. And ogling. So you can kind of see that there's some like tension there. And he's like, so, Joe, you want to play a game? Referencing to the pool table. And then she says,
I don't think so. We've already played this game.
Yeah. And then she's out of there.
She's gone.
So, yeah.
So, and, but down. Really, really what Jake meant to say was, can I sleep at your place tonight?
Okay, so next up, we're over to Allison and Steve's. Well, Steve's ranch, and they're in his bedroom, and Steve is like, I happen to have a thing for candlelight and jazz. Ew. Barf. Oh, please go away. I hate you.
He's a sex predator.
He's gross. And he's like, has like all these candles lit and some like cheesy, like just elevator music jazz. Like,
I feel like he has slaves. Like, do you remember? remember when they were back at, when they were all there, it was a double date. Joe, Steve, Allison, and Billy.
How could I forget?
And we couldn't find Joe for a long time.
Yeah.
She was just gone.
Yeah.
This was like a Get Out situation where she was being like brain controlled.
It wouldn't surprise me.
He has slaves.
So he owns slaves, for sure. He lays her on the bed. They start kissing. And he's like, he senses that something's wrong. And he pulls back and he asks her, what's wrong? Is this going too quickly? And she says, yes. And she then sits up and is like, Steve, I came up here because I really thought I wanted to be with you. But sometimes it takes getting away from your life to realize what you really want.
For fuck's sake, Allison. I threw my hands up at this point.
It's like
man,
what
seriously?
Do you want?
Girl.
You blew up your relationship with Billy for this dude.
You
and he's got everything.
You told Billy, what, 4 episodes ago that if we don't get back together, I'm going to start dating Steve.
Yeah, that's what you said. And now it's like, okay, your life is opening up here. And she admits, I am very attracted to you. I have feelings for you. But I just feel like I still have a commitment to Billy. Well, guess what? You don't have to effing marry the guy now.
You broke up.
I'm just like, I'm just like, why did you do this? What you totally, if you don't want to be with Billy, cool. I don't want you to be with Billy. But why keep doing this to Steve? I mean, even though he is like dead inside and his eyes are like totally vacant and there's nothing happening, he has feelings.
And he has a lot of money and slaves at your disposal.
I'm like, if anything, just freaking marry the guy and then get half of his estate. What the hell's wrong with you?
Jenny, no.
Who's a real gold digger?
Yeah. Shit, well, I know you're not.
I wouldn't have married you.
We're all fresh out of gold here.
Okay, so it's very weird. And of course, Steve is pissed. I mean, he's just like, okay, great. Well, I guess I'm going to have to call my travel agent after all. And she's like, well, I guess I'd better go. And he's like, yeah, I guess you'd better.
And she's like, here's your car.
No, she's like, can you drive me? And he was like, he looks at her like she's crazy. He's like, no.
It's like, bitch, I bought you a Jeep.
I'm not going to drive you. And he's like, I told you, Allison, that Jeep is for you, for all of your hard work. And you better get in it and drive away. Goodbye.
The fuck on. I can't play these games. I ain't got time for games.
Yeah, honestly, it's like, it's so stupid. And sophomore. I gotta
send like 20 computer mails. Do you know how many computer mail I get a day? Do I have to deal with this on top?
Okay, so then Allison's gone. And we can assume that that's the end of that.
Yeah, make up your mind, Allison. She's a psychopath.
She's a psycho. She's weird. I used to love Allison. I mean, seriously, season one, Allison was like my girl. Like the one that I was like, you know what? I identify with her and I really like her. And now I'm like, hate her.
Yeah.
She's the worst.
What's Billy have that I don't? Nothing.
Yeah, he actually does ask her that. You're right.
He has nothing.
Okay, so next up, we're back to Melrose Place. We're in the courtyard. And Dan, have you ever seen this pile of trash?
Never.
That's by there's a staircase, and to the side of it is like, I mean, enough trash for
an apartment.
But like way more people that live there.
It gets backed up. Well, we didn't see the trash truck at the beginning of the episode.
You're right. Maybe it was a holiday and they skipped it.
Yeah.
There is seriously bags upon bags upon bags of trash. And they have those old aluminum trash cans.
The Oscar the Grouches.
Right. And there's a lid on one of them. And Amanda, I don't know what Amanda's doing. She's like amid the trash, like standing in the bags, and she's trying to get this lid off of this aluminum trash can. And Billy walks up and she asks if he could help. So they start, don't they start like talking about like the crap that's going on in their life? Do you remember this?
Yeah, vaguely.
Like, I don't really know what leads up to it, but
it's like a build. Dating sucks.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, and then Jake totally like went against me and my family, and so
it's about just like betrayal and knowing who they say they are.
Yeah. So Amanda's got one end of the trash can. Billy has like the lid end, and they're just pulling it and kind of going back and forth, and then finally, the lid comes apart from the rest of the can, and then like trash explodes it's like loose trash. It's not even a bag or anything.
Yeah.
And they like fall backwards into like a heap of trash.
And this is somehow funny. But if this happened to me, I would be like, motherfucker! Like, God fuck God. Like, son of a bitch. Someone get the antibacterial.
I got rotten eggs all over my face.
I'd be like, fuck my life. Would not just be laying in trash laughing.
So they're like laughing, and then they get close to one another, and then there's like a couple like beats of like looking at each other's like faces and being like laughing like and they're getting closer and closer.
Eat her face off.
Yeah, then Billy like just kissing her on the lips, he like starts like gnawing at her face.
It was frightening. It was frightening.
It's like ravenous.
Attack of the clones. I'll take that part. I'm putting it on Instagram. Check it out.
And then they go up to Amanda's apartment, and they're like making out, and they're like rolling around on the couch, and then they get on the carpet, and they're like on the ground, like kissing and like tearing off each other's clothes.
Billy makes sure to hit the light, and there's a lot of Amanda side boob. I did notice that.
Oh,
just to make up for my penis lookings.
You know, leave it to Dan to find any like genitals, any kind of
all privates. I only look for privates.
He's Private Dan.
Yeah, at your service. I'm here pretty much to let you know where any private parts are
are revealed or could close or close to coming out of Melrose Place.
Yeah.
So then, guys, we get the credits. That's it. We see Amanda and Billy hooking up, and that's where they leave things.
It's back on. And this is after Amanda told Jake Billy was so unsure of himself.
She's back
especially in the bedroom.
Back in the saddle. So, to recap what went down in this episode, what's going on, Dan?
Allison nearly gets with Steve. Then she has a psychotic episode and goes back on her word.
Palmer is arrested, and Jake and Amanda are through.
Sydney reinserts herself into Michael's life.
And then Amanda and Billy hook up.
Yep. No Matt.
Matt's out of here. What's going on with Katya?
Oh, yeah.
How long has Matt had Nikki?
I don't know. A long time.
Like, what's up with that?
Nikki's in foster care.
Have we heard from Katya?
I don't know.
Okay, so 90s moments. What's going on?
Big 90s moment here is video dating. That just doesn't happen anymore.
The whole premise. And then calling the TV a 20-inch monitor.
Yeah.
Ooh, 20 inches.
20 inches.
Ooh.
Her name escapes me, but Billy's boss.
I want to say Lucy, but I think that was Lucy. The other boss. That
Nancy?
Maybe?
I don't know. Whatever. I remember my teachers having this in elementary school.
What?
A neon sort of see-through clipboard.
Oh.
They came in like the hot orange, the hot pink, and the lime green.
Yeah.
And it was like a neon thing.
I think those are still
around.
Where
are those?
They're still around.
But the neon clipboard.
Steve's really wide lapel at dinner with Allison. I mean, if you check that out, whoa, that thing, like the collar and the lapel was huge.
Yeah.
And the suit jacket.
I've got Michael falling out of his chair. That was a very, I've fallen and I can't get up moment.
Yes, it really was.
People back then were having a lot of trouble falling and not getting up.
Yeah, and needing help.
Yeah.
Totally. The Raiders being in L.A. because...
The Raiders were there?
Yeah, Cecilia says, I'm going to date someone on the Raiders.
Oh, good find.
So they were in L.A. I think until 94. And then they went back up to Bay Area, San Francisco.
To the Oakland. Oaktown.
Yeah, Oakland. Yeah. So that's very 90s.
In Escapade magazine, it was a box of video dating tapes, the VHSs.
Good one. When Billy's on the date, his date asking for the Reader's Digest version of his life, which I don't know about you, but I feel like Reader's Digest was in everybody's bathroom back in the 90s. Everybody's.
That was a weird title. Digest?
Reader's
Is
Digest.
Does that mean just like intake or like take it in?
Yeah, I think
you
so.
Digest it. It's gross.
It kind of goes with the bathroom thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, you read this
read while you shit and digest your food. But I thought it meant like the information you're digesting, you're taking it in.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's completely correct.
It's kind of sick.
But you know what's up with Reader's Digest these days? I don't think it's even around.
It's gotta be.
I used to love that though, like little bite-sized chunks of information.
Yeah.
Still going on.
Yeah, for $10 you can get a 1-year subscription. Still.
Jeez, what a steal.
Let's do it.
Put it in our bathroom.
We'll get it. I have Celia's high-ass jeans, and I'll throw Allison's in there with that.
Yeah. Amanda telling Billy to buy the paper to look for other apartments.
Oh, yeah. Buy a paper.
Yeah.
Get on Craigslist. West Side Rentals. The picnic baskets.
Yeah.
Those are very 90s, I guess.
Steve saying that he's got to call his travel agent to make different flight arrangements.
Yep.
And then the aluminum trash cans. I mean, when did the change occur? to the plastic blue bins that we know today.
Well, judging by how hard it was to take off the can, the lid, I'd assume shortly after 93.
I hope so.
Well, yeah, we all went to this like Rubbermaid recyclable plasticky stuff in the 90s.
Yeah. I'd say like late 90s maybe.
Yeah. Yep. Lessons?
Yeah, what you got?
My lesson is when you wear a wire, don't talk closely to that person. Really keep your distance.
So they can't rip your shirt off?
Can't rip your freaking shirt off. That's my lesson. And I had, it's a double lesson this week.
Oh, two. Okay.
When you give people cars, make sure you're married to them. Like, seal the deal, then send car.
Why? It's not an exchange of good for sexual favor.
You don't just give people cars.
If you're Steve McMillan, you do, because you are richer than God. Who cares? It's like him giving her a car is like a regular person giving somebody like flowers.
Well, keep them coming then.
My lesson is don't bite the hand that feeds. Jake, like, you had a good thing going with Palmer. You really like his daughter. Why go against them? I really think that he should have...
You want him to fight the FBI in court?
I think he should have teamed up with Palmer, told him what was going on, and then be protected by his high-powered lawyers so that he did not have anything to do with it.
Dang, that is bad.
Well...
That's a bad idea.
That's the lesson I got.
To fucking lie to the FBI and fight it?
Well, to go be transparent instead of going and wearing a wire and backstabbing. Yeah. I would have been like, I don't know anything about this. I'm going to go tell Palmer right now what's going on. I am not involved, and you guys do what you want to do with it, but I'm not involved. I'm telling Palmer.
You're going the Billy route. Go to hell, FBI.
Yep.
Okay.
That's me.
All right. That's your lesson.
Go to hell, FBI.
Tell the FBI to go to hell, guys. That's what Jenny takes from this episode.
That's exactly what I do. Okay, so now for...
Bitch of the week! I'm a boss-ass bitch. Bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss-ass bitch. Last week, season 2, episode 13, I said that the bitch of the week was Lauren, and Jenny said that the bitch of the week was Katya for leaving her child with Matt. And with 67% of the vote, Katya is not the bitch of the week. The bitch of the week was Lauren. So thank you, guys. I'm back on top.
Congratulations, Daniel.
Thank you.
So, for this episode, who are you nominating?
My bitch of the week is Amanda.
Hmm.
And here's why. Because, you all know why. You don't mess with Jake, okay? You just don't mess with the guy. You can't just go kicking out people who you have beef with because your dad is a freaking crook. That is not fair to Jake. It's illegal and not cool. Maybe that's how the Woodwards roll, though, with illegal activity. But then you don't call Jake and give him some bullshit, scary. You don't freak people out like that. Hey, meet me on the fucking corner, okay, at night. That's dangerous. Meet me on the corner at night. Why? I'll tell you there. Oh, it's shopping. That's, you're playing with people. You're being a bitch. That's very bitchy. Then you don't tell Jake that you're really into him, you owe him, and that he's the best guy you've ever met, and then go swooning over to daddy saying, I barely know the guy. What a piece of shit. I can't believe this. No, you stand up, you say, Dad, Jake's a good man, that's why you hired him, and he's a good man, that's why I'm doing it to him. It's very bitchy, this episode. And she throws shade at Allison at D&D. She says, Oh, yeah, really let that one slip through your fingers? Hey, bitch, get out of my business. Get out of my personal life. If you know what's good for you, Amanda's the bitch.
Very passionately said, Dan. I think you're going to be very upset with me because my bitch of the week is Jake.
What? Are you kidding?
I'm not.
How is this possible?
Jake is the bitch because he works with the FBI to do a sting operation on Palmer. Like, this whole scenario is insane to me. If I was, like, if basically, if I'm dating you and I'm working with your dads and the FBI come to me and, like, you need to bring down John Hill, I'd be like, no! I'd say absolutely not. I'm not wearing a wire. And then I would tell you and your family immediately.
You go down.
Where do your loyalties lie? It's not about being, I mean, of course, if some shady shit is happening, that sucks, but you're like now involved in their family, and it's your family. I don't know. I'm just like, family's family. You don't go against your, you don't go against the people that you love. You don't bring them down. No. And I will say they did make a really good case to try to show that Palmer was a jerk to him. But he did, Palmer really did hook him up. I don't know. I just don't think you don't backstab people. You don't rat people out.
Who are you?
You don't. I think that was the bitchiest thing. The bitchiest thing that Jake could have done. And then he's like, your dad's a crook. It's like, you know what? That's not what Amanda needs to hear right now. Okay, shut up. I don't know. I think he's the, you might disagree with me, but in my heart, I gotta say, go to hell, FBI. And Jake, you're a bitch.
Ouch.
This episode is entitled Strange Bedfellows. But Dan, I think you can do a little bit better than that. What are you renaming this puppy?
I'm renaming this puppy Trash Sex. You know why?
I think we know why.
Because Amanda and Billy have sex after laying in trash.
And they are just pieces of trash.
They are total trash.
Okay, mine is sting operation. Pretty cut and dry.
Yep.
Don't really need to explain it.
Nope.
Okay.
So you had a correct prediction.
Thank you.
You know what you're doing. Why don't you go first?
Okay, my predictions for upcoming episodes. Michael and Jane are definitely going to hook up again. I think that they are really laying the groundwork for this, that somehow Michael is going to be conniving and get Jane back into bed. I think Allison is going to try to get Billy back now that she's realized that she doesn't want Steve. And now Billy is like the apple of her eye. But I think Billy, after hooking up with Amanda, is going to rebuff her advances. And I think Amanda and Billy are going to have a little like DL fling. Because remember, Billy is living with Jake now. How's that going to look to Jake if he finds out that, I think Jake probably banged Amanda the day before, if not day of, and then Billy goes and sleeps with her then?
Mm.
Granted, this whole thing is weird that, you know, they've both been with Amanda and they're living together now, but I think it's going to be like this like covert, like Mimi in the alley. We've got to get some more trash sex on.
Mimi on the corner of Frederick and Melrose.
Yeah.
Sex.
So I think they're just going to try to hide this little relationship from everybody.
All right.
What are you thinking, Dan?
I think Jake is definitely going to get back with Joe.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah, I want that to happen too. I think Allison and Amanda are going to fist fight.
Oh, that would be freaking awesome.
Over Billy for no reason. And I think Sid is going to rape Michael. he doesn't have use of his legs.
Or we found out his arms, apparently.
Yeah. I think Sid's going to get in there, somehow fucking drug him or tie him, tie his upper torso down and like have sex with him.
And do you think maybe it's like maybe Michael and Jane are going to rekindle their relationship and then Sydney's going to do that and Jane's going to walk in and assume that Michael's a part of it?
Yeah. Yeah, Sydney is gonna get back in here.
That would be awesome.
They can't. This was an off episode for Sid, so she needs to come roaring back.
Totally. And then we gotta know what is going on with Nikki and Katya.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Good stuff.
Yep. So we had a suggestion from one of our super fans, Tommy. Tommy said that it would be really cool of us if we kept like a log of the top five like most worst dastardly things that Michael has done.
Oh, that is a good suggestion.
And then like whenever he does another thing, like does it get into the top five or does it not?
Okay, if we are thinking now what the top five things could be, all right, have you
No, I think we should do it right now. I think definitely up there is he banged Sydney. He cheated on
Okay. Him. I think first and foremost, he killed Kimberly.
Yeah.
I think that's number one. You get into a car that drunk. To me, that's number one.
Yeah.
You killed Kimberly, and then you try to cover it up.
He cheated on Jane with Kimberly.
I mean, well, and then with Sydney.
And then cheated on Kimberly with Sydney. He lied under oath at a deposition.
Okay, that's a good one. Pressured Matt to change.
Yeah, he made Matt, like, change official hospital documents. So the top five worst things Michael has done so far in our eyes from season one and season two are, number one, he killed Kimberly. Number two, he cheated on Jane. Number three, he cheated on Kimberly with Jane's sister. And he lied under oath at a deposition, and he had official hospital documents, police records changed for his personal gain.
Yeah, in that order.
Yeah. So those are top five worst things that Michael has done. When he does more, which I'm sure he will,
we'll amend the list.
We'll weigh in on where they land. So thanks for that idea, Tommy. We're on it. We are on it.
So, guys, we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you can't get enough of the show and you love us and you want to help us keep the lights on over here and keep making this content, you can always become one of our patrons at Patreon. Even a dollar a month can make a big difference. So if you want to help us out over here, throw us a buck so we can continue making the show, we'd really appreciate anything that you are willing to give. And
links in the bio, patreon.com/MelrosePod.
And of course, we love any kind of interaction. So if you have a question, a comment, something you want to share, be a part of our Facebook group or send us an email at
MelrosePod@gmail.com.
And we wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving with all of your friends and family. And remember, guys, we love Smut.
And we love you. We'll be right back.